This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Let's do this Chris Herndon deal. Chris Herndon joins me now. Chris, what are you listening to?
That is All for One by Brand Nubian, a celebratory hip-hop classic for the 1-0 Memphis Grizzlies.
I guess you are the rare Grizzlies observer who can watch the Grizzlies on League Pass. Is that right?
Well, you can't watch them in League Pass in Memphis because it's blacked out or in the Memphis area. And so, I mean, there are other, Grizzlies Observer, yes, I guess so. As I'd say, there's Grizzlies fans all over the world, man, people watching on League Pass.
Right, but you, in Minnesota, when you're in the Twin Cities, you can watch it on League Pass, right?
Yep, that is indeed how I watched
That's how you watched it, I was guessing, because there was a lot of complaining from Grizzlies fans, and I think justifiable complaining. I guess the people on Comcast/Xfinity had a real problem pixelated picture, etc., and they're supposed to get it. YouTube TV is not supposed to get it. I think people learned that. A lot of people, it seemed like, on social media were like, fine, I'll sign up for the FanDuel app, which I guess costs $20 a month, but anyway.
Yeah, I'm probably going to be reluctantly signing up for the FanDuel app, like, tomorrow, I guess, like, because I'm going to be in Memphis, and, like, I'm going to want to watch the game at Houston, and that's how I'm going to watch it, with the FanDuel app.
All right. So there you go. Anyway, Grizzlies get the win. You've got a piece up about it. I have tweeted it out. Let's start with Ja Morant. Seemed good at basketball.
Yeah. I mean, it's just another, like, Ja's back and Ja's Ja, you know. And, like, Santi had the big game. It's really the surprising game. But, like, Ja was the reason they won the game. It was, I mean, Ja sort of, like, you know, bit the game to his will when he was out there. And
right.
When he came back in the last 4 minutes and it was tight, it was like, you know, hot, get stuck in the air, alley passes for dunks. And then like that layup he hit. And the thing I wrote about is just his knack. Everyone always talks about how Ja needs space. You need to play five out so Ja can have space. And like, that's great too. But Ja doesn't need wide open spaces. He's great with slivers of space. He's so good at navigating the small cracks. And he's especially good at feeling the presence of other players around him and reacting to that on the fly. And that sort of slithery creativity he has, that's like all he did last night, just about. He didn't hit any threes. He didn't hit anything else in the paint. There were no wide open dunks. It was all navigating tight spaces and making stuff happen.
Yeah, his dunk was after the whistle. he did pound one home after the whistle at one point, but that might have been it. And then, of course, obviously, Saadi hitting the three-pointers was big. Hitting 5 three-pointers was big. But those last two buckets were totally Ja productions, right? He knew where to cut, when to cut, but that was more Ja. So he was fabulous. You pointed out not a lot of pain points for the Grizzlies last night.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really, obviously, Edie did not get going at all. I'd have to go back and look at, like, the fast break numbers, but it didn't feel like they really got going in transition. And they got outscored in the paint. I mean, this is a team that was first in the NBA, I want to say, in points in the paint, like 4 years in a row with Ja Morant as their point guard. I felt last in the NBA last season with no Ja Morant. And, I mean, my expectation is they would sort of get back near the top, and we'll see what happens over time. But they didn't score a lot in the paint in the preseason. They didn't really score a lot in the paint in that game either. I think that's a thing to watch.
Ja played 28 minutes. As it was, Utah even took a brief lead there. And Memphis fans everywhere were exclaiming, yo, get him back in the game. It seems like that was probably, I mean, he didn't play a lot in the preseason. And honestly, Santi was top of the, with 31. You had an 11-man rotation, not a 10-man rotation, and only 28 minutes for Ja. That's early season easing people back in, you think?
Yeah, I know. I think Taylor Jenkins has tended over years to play heavy rotations and to keep minutes low. That's a better strategy. That's been consistent over time. It was more elaborate last night. You know, even though they were shorthanded, with right. the 11 players played at least like 14 minutes each. All played 11 guys in the first quarter. Your best players were under 30. I think last night, the reason that he leaned more into what he does and already does was a combination of factors. I think it was, you know, game one, you hadn't really, a lot of these guys hadn't played like full preseason. And so you sort of, your first game, you're in the high altitude of Salt Lake City.
Yep.
You're about to play three games in four nights. And so I think, you know, he wanted to keep the minutes low. But it was sort of a game of chicken, right? You want to keep the minutes low and you want to win the game. And there's a tension between these two things.
Right.
And so when you win by two and like Ja and Dez are playing under 30 minutes, like that's a double victory. Like, great job. But if you lose by two, then everyone's screaming about it this morning. It's kind of it's a tough negotiation, but he navigated it to the finish line last night.
It is interesting. Like, Ja's unbelievable. He's just fabulous. Ja is Ja. And in the end, you do want him to hit three-pointers. Like, I mean, I'm not demanding perfection game one, but, like, at the highest level, yeah. He's going to need to hit jump shots, right? He just is.
Sure, sure. Let's watch that develop over the season.
Right,
yes.
Exactly.
Okay. But, I mean, just to me, the story of him last night was the way he navigates those tight spaces. That's sure. Sort of what I chose to focus on.
And then we have Santi. With the big game, misses the first two threes, and after that is 5 of 8 from three. And big game for Santi, and good to see.
It was funny. I think the first two threes he missed were the first two shots of the game for the Grizzlies.
Yep.
And it sort of felt like, okay, so Utah is just going to like give Santi the shot every time down the court, and then the ball is going to find its way there, and we're just going to keep doing this.
Right.
And then when he hit the third, you could see that expression of relief. It was like 3 minutes into the game. It's like too soon to like be letting out frustration, right? But he was frustrated with the first 2 minutes. He sort of let out the steam, and then he played great. And he had played great in the preseason. Like, he shot 50% from three in the preseason. So we'll see if it continues. This is one game. But I do think when people watch Santi Aldama, you have the sense that he should shoot better from three than he has shot.
Yep.
He's not the only player for whom that's true, but he is a player for whom that's true. And I think a lot of people, myself included, looked at the way that what the team was trying to do and felt like, well, that's a pretty good fit for Santi in particular. And so we'll see how it goes, but I think he has a chance to have a real step forward season.
And at the end of this year, he will be a restricted free agent, right? Isn't that
He will be a restricted free agent if the Grizzlies extend a qualifying offer to make him a restricted free agent. He doesn't automatically become a restricted right. free agent, but that is the likely scenario.
Okay. Let's get to the downer of the night, and that was Zach Edey's rough start. I took comfort, honestly, in his foul shooting, because the fact that a guy who can hit foul shots is 1 of 5 from the line suggests to me that nerves, everything else, game one, big part of this.
Yeah, I think it was easy to see that he was sort of in his head last night. You could see him swimming a little bit, the frustration, just trying to get his bearings. And I think the foul shooting, I do think, was a reflection of that. The good part of that, and I had someone on a fan on Twitter commented this, and I agree, was that you could see how frustrated he was about it and angry he was at his own play. And that's, like, good. That's healthy. Like, you know, this is not Hashim Thabeet, who's just going to sort of sleepwalk through his NBA career. And so, you know, it was a rough game for Zach Edey. One of the things I pointed out in the thing I wrote this morning is that literally every lottery pick who's played has had a rough game. If they played at all, some of them have just DNP'd coach's decision. So, you know, it's rough out there for rookies sometimes. So, like, we got to give these guys a little time. Not just Zach Edey, but all the rest of them, too.
He did look, I mean, it is funny. Again, the people who don't believe in Zach Edey, when they saw him last, it's one game, and I've completely subscribed.
No, that's right.
But the stuff that they would have worried about or didn't believe in, kind of slow. They were throwing alley-oops over his head. Collins was doing whatever he wanted with him, going around him. You know, that was the part that was most, it was honestly the defensive stuff that was more.
Yeah. If you want to pick apart the different elements of the game, I do think the one that you would point to that's the most meaningful like, we know he's not a 1-for-5 free throw shooter. Like, right. You know, free throw shooting is not something that, like, is different in the NBA, right? So we know that he's that. Some of the soft finishes at the rim, I think, was just him being uncomfortable. Like, I don't think that's going to be the norm for him. The fouls, who knows? I mean, there was a lot of fouls called in that game. We'll see with that. But I do think the defense being late to rotate to the rim, like that kind of stuff, that is something I would definitely keep an eye on.
Jalen Wells had fouls too. Like, you know, he had five in 23 minutes. Like, the two rookies don't quite know how to guard in the NBA yet, fouling. That's not a huge shocker. You can go to Chris's piece and see a full recounting of how the other lottery picks struggled, but struggled they did. So onward we go. By the way, they're playing Houston next, and Steven Adams did not play last night. So we'll get Edie versus, I don't know if we'll get Edie versus Adam. Do you know, have you followed what's going on with Steven Adams in Houston?
He played in the preseason. I don't know how many games he played. He didn't play every day, but he did play basketball in the preseason. And the injury last night was, the listed injury was not the knee. It was a different injury. It was an injury, but it was not, you know, the knee he's been recovering from. He did play in the preseason. So I think the expectation they have in Houston is that he's going to be, you know, their backup center in their rotation. But I don't. I would wonder how many games he'll play this season.
I would never have imagined on game this is the first draft where we had a 2-day draft, and day two, Grizzlies picked Jalen Wells, and I could never have imagined at that moment that when the Grizzlies made their first subs of this new season, one of the two players coming in would be Jalen Wells. But so it was, played 23 minutes. What'd you think?
He earned the right to be, I mean, once you factor in for like Luke Kennard and Vince Williams out or whatever, but he earned in the preseason, he earned the right to come into that game before Conchar and a Jake LaRavia. He sort of earned that. And he was good, like, from the jump. Like, he hit the two threes, and like, we're just doing this now. I think over the course of the game, being a rookie got to him a little bit, and so he was not as good as the game went on as he was early. But I think, you know, as a second-round pick playing his first real NBA game, you earn the right to play in that game, and to me, he's earned the right to keep playing.
Yeah, I guess I assumed he'd come in and miss and play like Edie looked at the foul line. You know, he is a three-point shooter who I assumed in game one would miss shots, and he came in and dropped in his first two three-pointers, I think. So, that just the level of poise there impressed me. Of the players who were inauspicious, and again, this is all one game, whatever. But of the players who are inauspicious, I asked Jeffrey. I didn't think Brandon Clark was particularly auspicious. Zach Edey wasn't auspicious. And Marcus Smart, he had a big bucket late, but he wasn't particularly auspicious. His shooting certainly was off. To the extent that one would be worried or whatever about those players, where would you rank? Where would you rank them in terms of concern would be justified?
I am most concerned about Brandon Clark of that group. I think he had, in the preseason, he was spotty. He had some good stretches. He had some bad stretches. He's obviously coming off major injury stuff. He's the kind of player who I think when you have lower body injuries, you're concerned that that changes who he is in a hurry because of the kind of player he is. Not only did he not play well, like he didn't finish that game, even though like Zach Edey had fouled out and Jaren Jackson Jr. was not available. And rightfully so, like they made the right choice down the stretch. Now he may bounce back and be great in game two, but I have a real concern with how consistently good Brandon Clark's going to be, at least early on this season. So to me, that's an easy number one. I guess my number two is Edie, just because he's a rookie. Like, there's nothing is guaranteed. Right. Like, it is possible that the people who thought Edie was a terrible draft pick will be correct. That's not what I believe.
Right.
But, like, it's possible. And Marcus Smart is just Marcus Smart. Like, there is some level of mystery about how effective he will be. But I expect him to, like, not look great with the ball in his hand.
Right.
And I expect his shooting to be erratic. And I expect him to play pretty good defense, and I expect him to just make plays. Like, you know, I figure out how to bait this guy into a foul. Like, you make this pass. Yeah, you just grit and craft and smart your way, no pun intended, to, like, doing stuff on the floor. So it's kind of – he sort of looks like what I expect him to look like. My question would be not what he's going to be, but how effective it is in the context of the team, and I'm not as certain about that.
You made the point in your piece that really, at some basic level, his last bucket and Ja's last bucket were the same thing.
Same thing. They're playing horse, man. And Marcus Smart hits the layup, and then Ja hits the layup, and now they go to something else. Yeah.
One doesn't leave the ground doing it. And, yeah.
Right.
Jeffrey, he's very impolitic. He said earlier in this show, and he kind of
was. How did Jeffrey rank him?
Jeffrey actually had. Who would you have most concerned about, Jeffrey?
So I had Smart, Clark, Edie. I think Marcus looks fat.
That's what he said earlier. He said, I think he's fat. And to me, that's a reason for optimism. You can play your way into shape. What do you think?
In my 10 takes to the preseason thing, I had like a one-liner about Marcus Smart, and I said he looked out of shape. And so, yeah, I agree. I don't think we'll see. It adds to the whole like dad quality of his play, you know.
Right, exactly.
Like I sit on the couch and I think that's probably. I literally sit on the couch with my son watching the game, and I said with that layup, I said that's what we look like when we play.
John Conchar did what he did: 5 rebounds. He had hit a 3 though. That was nice. Jake LaRavia hit a 3. So you had all kind. Oh, Scottie Pippen. We haven't talked about Scottie Pippen Jr. What'd you think of Scottie Pippen Jr.'s effort?
I thought Pippen was good, generally, as a backup point guard. You know, had the assists, had the steals, didn't make a lot of obvious mistakes. There's a limit to the pass-fail bar on a backup point guard, and I think it was a pass kind of game for him. I think LaRavia and Conchar were fine. They were fine. Nothing particularly good or particularly bad. I think they soaked up minutes in a perfectly acceptable kind of way.
And then we get to the surprise star of the show. Because I think we could have thought Aldamak might have a big game. The surprise star of the show, Jay Huff. That was fun.
That's my old pal Matt said on Twitter. He's a Bass Pro Nas Reed. Jay Huff was good. He was really good. He came off the bench just firing threes.
And fired up when he hit him, too. Fired up and hitting him, yeah. Yeah,
he finished the game. He's gonna play. I mean, not every game are you gonna have Jaren Jackson Jr. out and Zach Edey fouled out and Brandon Clark struggling. So like, he's not necessarily gonna be your closing guy most nights. But I think he's gonna play. I don't think he's gonna wear the Memphis Hustle uniform this season. That's what I would say.
It's interesting. It'd be interesting to see how the Bigs sift out, because you've got Jaren and then you've got a bunch of question marks, really, right? I mean, what's Santi going to be? Is this real? What's Zach Edey going to be as a rookie? Is Brandon Clark healthy and himself? It'll be interesting to see who really emerges there. Jay Huff is still on a two-way. What are the odds that Jay Huff ends up going the Scottie Pippen Jr. route?
There's no reason I can see where they need to do that anytime soon. They get to play him 50 games. He is under contract. He can't go sign somewhere else. They get to use him for 50 games. They don't have to fill that roster spot ever. Like, they could keep it open all year. I don't think they will, but they could. So there's no reason for them. As far as I can see, there's no reason they need to do that now. But I think that, if he keeps playing well and there's no, trade that happens later in the season that would otherwise fill it up or whatever. I think if the NBA said you have to fill this roster spot, I think they'd sign Jay Huff right now. But I don't think there's not a reason they need to do that right now. There's no benefit to that.
In terms of Utah, Kessler had a big game. Markkanen was terrific, obviously. Kante George couldn't hit a thing, and it's a good thing for the Grizzlies that he couldn't. 3-18 and 5-9, even on free throws, and he's a really good free throw shooter. I just do wonder. Like, they have this veteran core that's pretty okay, and then all these kids who aren't. I don't know.
It feels like they've just sort of been fiddling around, and I don't know whether it's like just Danny Ainge waiting for the big trade that may or may not materialize, but it feels like that's a team that needs to pick a direction and fully commit to it, and it seems pretty clear the direction to fully commit to is like tanking, and like marketing's good, but he's not good enough to be the number one guy on a contender. And he's too old to wait 3 years for them to put the team together that would be that. So, you know, when he's eligible to be traded, he signed an extension this summer, so he's not eligible today. But it seems to me an obvious, it's obvious for them to trade him, to maybe look to move Sexton and to, like, go all in and what I call the self-flagellation society and go for Cooper Flag, you know?
All right, around the NBA elsewhere, DeJounte Murray broke his hand. The Rockets lost to Charlotte with LaMelo 34-11. The Suns won an OT over the Clippers. And the league is investigating, which seems preposterous to me. What is there to investigate when it comes to Joel Embiid's knees? Any of that intrigue you? Or anything else?
The investigation Embiid thing just seems silly to me.
Crazy.
Like, this is so clearly a special case. This dude missed the first season plus of his career with injuries coming in. He's injured all the time. He's always hurt in the playoffs. Like, it's clearly, like, there is legitimate, like, health management stuff that they have to deal with for Joel Embiid. Like, the idea that, well, he's healthy, you have to play him, when clearly that there is risk in playing him that is greater than with other players, and they have reasons to manage him. I don't care. They should leave that alone.
I'm with you.
What was the other stuff you threw out?
DeJounte Murray broke his hand. That's not good. Zion missed the game with an illness, though, so I guess that's better.
I mean, you know, the thing with the injuries, like, the Grizzlies have their share right now, but none of them are as bad as, like, you know, some of these are in the league, and that's a pretty bad one for a team that just traded for him to be their starting point guard. I mean, that team won something like 49 games without him last season.
It is funny that the unwanted Brandon Ingram led the way with 33 points last season.
Right. You know? That team actually has a lot of perimeter talent, and so they can lose a guy and still be pretty good in the perimeter. The real news with them, I mean, the DeJounte Murray injury is the real news, but the other thing with them is that their rookie, Yves Missy, was pretty good last night at center. We'll see if that happens again. But, you know, it's a bad injury for New Orleans, but I don't think that's the injury that dramatically changes their potential this season.
All right, Chris, appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
You can read Chris's piece over at the Daily Memphian. All right. FanDuel, by the way, we mentioned he is watching on NBA League Pass because he's in the Twin Cities half the time now. So when he's in the Twin Cities, he can watch on NBA League Pass. NBA League Pass, you can watch all this stuff all around the league, except for the Grizzlies, when you're in Memphis. And right now over at FanDuel, you get 3 months of NBA League Pass free. All you have to do is bet $5 on the NBA. Go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code, C-A-L-K-I-N-S. C-A-L-K-I-N-S to get 3 months of NBA League Pass. Must be 21 and older and present Tennessee. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. Cancel anytime. No refunds. Terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. So we play Righter Than Right trivia on Thursdays, and we've got the champion over here. That's Jeffrey Wright. He will try to best you in trivia, or you will try to best him in trivia. It'll be overseen by Kevin Cerrito. And the way it works is if you either can best Jeffrey, or if you just manage to play honorably, you get a fabulous prize package. And the prize package today is 4 tickets to the Grizzlies Saturday night, tickets to Steve Martin and Martin Short coming up at the Orpheum. That's in 2025. And tickets to 901 Wrestling. Now, Jeffrey, the person who's called already, I appreciate their enthusiasm, but they're not going to win, because they're not going to be caller number one, right? So she should hang up. That person should hang up. And then I will say, with this prize pack, we're going to take caller number 5. The phone number is 445-0929, 445-0929. And we'll play Righter Than Right trivia when we return. Jeff Calkins, your 92.9 FM ESPN. Hi, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined by Kevin Cerrito. Zara, fun and games here in Memphis, Tennessee. Kevin, what's happening?
Hey, well, you know, spooky stuff is happening. It's, you know, it's spooky season. It's NBA season. It's Major League Baseball season. It's NFL season. College football season. It's all the season.
It's also, by the way, you have this weekly appearance. You're part of the Jeffrey Extravaganza in the afternoons, and I gather one of the stories you sent him that you were thinking about discussing but never got to was whether Huey's is an appropriate place for a first date. This debate has broken out on social media. Where do you come down?
Well, absolutely. I'm glad you brought this up. I wasn't expecting, but Huey's, I talk about all the time, even before we started doing events at Huey's. I've been a Huey's fan for so long because it's such a unique place that I, yes, absolutely take your first date there. I don't think you overhype it and say, get all dressed up. Let's, you know, right. Right. I don't know if you overhype it in that way, but I mean, Huey's is such a unique place where you can take a date. You can take your family. You can take the kids after the game. You can go with your buddies and have a beer. It's like you're always feel welcome at a Huey's, no matter which Huey's it is, no matter what you're there for or who you're there with. It's such a unique spot. Like, I can't think of anywhere else that really can check every single one of those boxes.
Versatility.
Yeah, very right. Versatile. And we do have events at Huey's. Tonight, you can go play at the Huey's of Southwind. We're at Huey's Southwind 3 nights a week. Music bingo on Tuesdays and Fridays, trivia on Thursdays. We're also at Huey's downtown on Wednesdays for music bingo. But shout out to Huey's. They got a new Smash Burger now that's worth trying as they have shaken some little things up on the menu. They got all the classics, but they've added that. But StoryEntertainment.com, find out where we're playing for Huey's. And as I said, it's spooky season. So over the next week, we will have, at every music bingo, we'll have our spooky vibes round playing, but also we'll have spooky rounds at all the trivia nights. It all leads up to Trick or Trivia, which will be next Thursday. We're playing in Memphis at Hampline next Thursday night, a Halloween themed with costume contest, all Halloween themed trivia next Thursday night, which is Halloween night at Hampline Brewing, and then in South Haven at Dan McGinnis. So it's big if you're looking for something to do actually on Halloween night and you don't have kids to go trick or treating with, come join us for some fun and chances to win.
All right, we got a fabulous prize pack today, Jeffy. Tell the people what we're giving away and who is our contestant.
Jeff, we have 4 tickets to go see the Memphis Grizzlies at the home opener on Saturday night against the Magic, as well as 2 tickets to see Steve Martin and Martin Short at the Orpheum January the 25th. Kevin has also thrown in tickets to the final 901 wrestling show of 2024. Not the final 901 wrestling show ever, but the last one of 2024 at Minglewood. And we welcome to the program Daniel and Collierville. Daniel, you're on.
Hey, Daniel, just play honorably because you don't want to blow it and not win that fabulous prize package. I'm going to turn things over now to Kevin.
It's amazing how far the prize packages have come since we started doing this. book from the Calkins would mail you to now you yes. get a, to go to
hey,
every
that
cool
was the
thing
peak. That was That's, the peak. Yeah. I would literally send you a copy of
well, that
of
was the
After
peak
the
of him.
Jump, my collection of columns, and I'd have to go.
Well, that was
to
the peak of you rooting
office.
Against me because it was less work for you.
And we only gave it to the winners. You had to beat him, and I wanted him to lose because I would have to go to the traipse off to the post office to mail a copy of After the Jump. To a winner. Anyway, carry on.
It was the peak of the pandemic. That was the peak. That was the peak of the pandemic. All right, this right or the right trivia. Your job's to get more right than Jeffrey. If you do, you will win. Of course, you just got to play honorably. I'm going to give you the choice of 2 categories. Whatever you don't choose, well, I'm likely to go to Jeffrey. He can steal from you one time and vice versa to get an extra point in the event that one of y'all miss a question today. We have paused the current events era, gone into general knowledge, but since it is spooky week here, spooky season, the final week before Halloween, we're going all spooky-based trivia questions here today.
Congratulations, Daniel.
Let's see how Jeffrey can do. As your categories to start are candy or costumes. Which one do you want?
I'll take candy.
Candy. First they're sour, then they're sweet is the slogan of what candy with a 3-word name?
Oh, no.
First they're sour, then they're sweet is the slogan of what candy with a 3-word name?
Hmm. Now and later?
That is incorrect. Jeffrey, do you want to steal?
No clue, because my guess was Warheads, but no, that's 2 words.
Yeah, not 3 words. We're looking for Sour Patch Kids.
Mm. Ah.
Very popular.
Scoreless tie. Scoreless tie. Daniel playing honorably, though.
Costumes for you, Jeffrey. Ghostface is now a classic Halloween mask that was featured in what 1996 film?
Scream.
Oh, come on.
You could have picked it.
You could have picked it, Daniel.
I should have.
You made your own bed here. Bed of nails. It is 1-0. Jeffrey leads. Back to Daniel.
Phrases or words?
Phrases.
Double-double toil and trouble is a famous line spoken by some witches in what Shakespearean work?
Man, I know this. Say that one more time.
Double Double, Toil and Trouble is a famous line spoken by witches in what Shakespearean work?
I have no idea.
Jeffrey, how's your Shakespeare knowledge?
All right, I'm going to steal.
You're going to steal, all right.
Yeah. All right, 50-50. Macbeth.
Macbeth is correct, Jeffrey, with another point. A spooky edition of Right and Right Trivia.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Words, Jeffrey. What compound word is found below the set of numbers on a typical Ouija board?
Compound word.
Down below the set of numbers on a typical Ouija board.
I don't even have a guess. I have no clue.
No guess from Jeffrey.
Daniel can steal if he wants.
Cannot steal.
He cannot steal. The word is goodbye. Goodbye.
Still goodbye. Too deserved. My guess was going to be good luck, but yeah, same. Yeah.
Right, and not necessarily, yeah. I guess it could be, whatever. All right, around the world or around the U.S. now, Daniel? Let's get the point.
Let's take the U.S.
Elizabeth Short was given what floral nickname only after her 1947 murder that was never solved?
Was given what kind of nickname?
Grief.
What kind of nickname?
A floral nickname.
Floral?
Yeah.
Elizabeth floral. Short.
Her
Daisy May.
That is incorrect. Jeffrey, you already stole, right?
Yeah, I have no clue on this
but one.
But
you have no idea. Black Dahlia. She's a Black Dahlia.
Okay. There we go.
Around the world, Jeffrey.
Hooray.
In what city did Jack the Ripper commit his crimes?
London.
Very quickly, Jeffrey got it correct.
Daniel, yes, you can complain about that one, except for once again, you made your own choice. Like, come on, man.
I'm choosing incorrectly.
You are very clearly choosing incorrectly.
I think the audience would have said Sour Patch Kids and Scream were the same thing. We had no idea.
It is, 3-0. Back to Daniel.
Books or television?
Oh, no, did you just steal? No, that was
my question.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, back to Daniel. Go ahead.
Let's take television.
I think you just keep picking in the wrong direction here. Tom Hanks portrayed what non-traditional Halloween character in a viral sketch from Saturday Night Live?
I have no clue.
It would be David S. Pumpkins. Look it up if you haven't seen it. It was viral. David S. Pumpkins.
See, yes. Daniel, you're like unerring in your ability to not choose correctly. Are you married, Daniel? Are you married?
Yes.
Did you choose correctly? Did you choose correctly?
I have. For 18 years, I have.
There you go. Well, so there you go. On the important stuff,
it's
you
possible.
Choose correctly.
It's
it is possible. You just, like, for the last 18
like
years.
Brad Carson with Pick and Bet.
All right, let's go over to Jeffrey.
Mike Thaler wrote a series of over 20 children's books in which various people who work in a school are said to be from what scary-sounding place? Honestly, both of these, I thought both of these were hard, but of course, not necessarily a scale here. We've got books for Jeffrey. Mike Thaler, that's Thaler, don't know if that matters to you, wrote a series of over 20 children's books in which various people who work in a school are said to be from what scary-sounding place?
The Abyss. I have no idea.
The Abyss is wrong. You want to guess? Daniel, you want to save that steal to the end?
I'm going to save it.
He's going to save it. The Black Lagoon is the setting.
Is the score 3-0? I think it's 3-0. We're into the final round. We'll give Daniel a point to wager. And Jeffrey's wagering 1. So here we go. Over to Daniel.
We're going to end with the other October holidays here. This is a special, of course, Halloween edition of Right or the Right Trivia, even though we will be playing next Thursday. Because these questions, we're going to be asking them over the next week. Every one of these questions you'll hear is some trivia night around town. So make sure you come out tonight at Huey's with your date or with your friends or somewhere else in the Memphis area, CerritoEntertainment.com. Okay, other October holidays. You want October 8th or October 10th?
Let's take 10th.
Which was your October first 10th. Instinct? Maybe if your first instinct was 10th, you should have gone 8th. You know, maybe a good stanza of this, you know?
It was 8th.
Okay, good. You're doing smart. It. All right, good. Smart. Yep.
Someone decided October 10th was just right for a world day to celebrate what food if you can bear eating it?
Honey.
What'd you say?
Ooh, that's
good. Honey. Bear eating it. Okay.
Oh, I see. Bear
yeah,
eating it.
Yeah, that's good. A good guess.
That's good.
Yeah, bear eating it, but also that is incorrect. Because also just right,
I think you're giving me
just right. So this just right for some just right. What do you think it could be? Just right, just right. A bear, just right.
Oh, I see. A porridge. It's porridge.
Porridge. Yes,
that's porridge. Day.
Oh.
But Daniel had the right thought.
Yeah,
he had the right thought.
Yeah.
We'll give him credit for that. 3-1. I'm just kidding.
Now, if you tuned into the Jeff Calkins show on October 10th, you would have heard the debate of where to get the best porridge in town, right?
Exactly.
Did we not talk about that day?
Over to Jeffrey to see how big this rout will be.
All right, on the 8th of October, oh my gosh, Jeffrey, you're just getting me up with what I think are the easiest ones. Fitting for the 8th day of the 8th month of the year, what animal has a world day to celebrate on October the 8th?
Spider.
Ooh. No, it's incorrect. We'll get steel.
Oh, dang it. I'm an idiot. Yeah.
We have a steel. Daniel?
Yeah. Can I hear the clue
Say the question again?
Yes, yes, yes. All right. A lot of pressure. You can get this one correct. I think you can do it. Fitting for the 8th day of what was once the 8th month of the year, what animal has a world day to celebrate it on October the 8th?
Guess octopus.
Wait a minute.
That's octopus is going to be correct. All right, 2-1. Narrow victory for Jeffrey. Nicely done, Daniel. Are you going to say he played honorably?
He most certainly did.
I don't know. He seemed to conspire with you on that last question a little bit. You know, maybe.
I know. Yeah, do we count that?
I still think we should have Jeopardy rules where you can go in the negative.
All right. There we go. Thanks, Daniel. Enjoy your fabulous prize package.
Thank you, guys.
Yep. See ya. Kevin, where can people figure out where you're going to be?
Go to CerritoEntertainment.com we've got, again, spooky music bingo happening all week and spooky themed trivia where it's general knowledge like this, maybe harder, maybe easier, who knows, but you work together as your team to answer those questions and have a lot of fun here to celebrate Halloween week.
Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate it. Halloween's become bigger in the last 10 years, 20 years, bigger and bigger and bigger. I don't contribute to it. It's not my thing. I don't like to get dressed up for costumes. Claire does. She's a brilliant artist, and she's able to do fabulous costumes. She resents a little bit that her kids grew up, so she can't dress them in costumes anymore. Costume's not my thing. Here's the thing, Jeffrey. Thriller is the best Halloween song, right? It's the Halloween song, right? It's the spookiest, best.
And Ghostbusters got to be up there, too.
That's good. I was thinking, like, is Thriller the Halloween equivalent of All I Want for Christmas Is You?
Probably.
Isn't All I Want for Christmas with You the...
Yeah, that's probably...
The quintessential Christmas... It's become the quintessential...
I mean, I guess the only distinction could possibly be the Thriller video music video is bigger than the song it is.
And the song is so good. Ghostbusters good too, though. Ghostbusters good too. Daniel was a good sport about that. Really, I do question. I was glad to hear, relieved to hear, that he's been running for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't always choose badly. But if you go out to dinner with Daniel, don't get what he's having. We're going to take a break. Back in a moment. 92.9 FM ESPN. All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. All right, Jeffrey, we have not... we got a football game tonight.
And it
involves the teams, the aforementioned teams. I ask you if the Vikings should be interested in trading for Matt Stafford.
Is this like a first date?
This is like Huey's. This is like going to... No, this is... And so here's the thing. If they beat the Rams, then the Rams are more apt to just want to move on from Matt Stafford. But they don't want to beat up and injure their next quarterback, Matt Stafford.
That's a fair point. I still wonder, though.
You have this theory that Matt Stafford's wife...
Yeah, she's really embraced L.A. life.
Has embraced L.A. life.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't want to be headed to the Twins, join Chris Harrington in the Twin Cities.
No chance.
What's next on 92.9?
Here's what's coming up next on Jason and John. Adam Chernoff of Right Angle Sports is going to join them at 1:25. Cobb will be with me on Jeffrey Wright and Company. We'll have Eric at 2:40. Jason will join us during the second hour.
It is Thursday, so that means Jeff will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Back tomorrow for now. Work is done.